name is Timothy Hanna. I am the mayor of Appleton, Wisconsin.
Tell us about what you are most proud of. You've been mayor for quite a long time.
I've been mayor for 22 years. I was born and raised in Appleton. This is my hometown, and I often tell people there's a lot of pressure because I can't screw up. If I screw up, I have nowhere to go.
Right.
I can't
there.
Go home.
Yeah.
I am home.
You are home.
This
yeah.
is home. We just had local elections. We have local elections in the spring. So we have some new city council members. I said, as they were getting sworn in, I just sat back and I was so proud of our community. The first one that was sworn in was a transgender individual. And this is his second term on the city council. The next one that was sworn in was a paraplegic who goes out and campaigns in his wheelchair. And I'm thinking, good for us. Good for our citizens that they don't let that stuff prevent them from electing good people.
Public art, street art.
Public art's one of the things that we've been working on. Right now they're showing us one of several murals that we have downtown. One of the things I didn't point out, if you look on the corner over there, is what normally would be a big metal box. Those hold all the controls for our traffic lights. So what we did was we worked with the middle school and high school art students, and all the traffic control boxes in downtown are wrapped with art that tell the kind of the ethnic history of the city. So we turned ugly infrastructure into art. One of the other things they'll point out is as you're walking, this is our fifth year where we solicit poetry from residents. And there's a panel that judges the poetry, and we take 5 poems a year, and as we are replacing sidewalk squares, we stamp the poetry right into the concrete. So you go for a walk in Appleton and you'll run across this poetry from our citizens. So
what you're talking about on a bunch of different levels is community engagement.
Oh, absolutely. It's community engagement. As a city, I started strategic planning 20 years ago, before a lot of cities were doing strategic planning. And so everything we do points to trying to achieve our mission and our vision. And our mission is that we meet the needs of the community and enhance the quality of life. Mm-hmm. Our vision is that Appleton is a place where people can use their talents to thrive. That's who we want to be. We want to be a place where no matter who you are, where you're from, if you end up here, we're going to do everything we can and use all the resources we have as a community to help you be the best you can be.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Is this the Houdini?
This is Houdini Plaza. This is very near where Houdini grew up. We redid the plaza probably 6-7 years ago. It is a very popular place. There's outdoor concerts every Thursday night. There just seems to be a lot of activity. My office is actually around the corner. I overlook this. There's people out here all the time, just enjoying the open space and being downtown. You see the restaurant here. Nice. Restaurant here with the outdoor seating.
I've spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, Door County, Racine, wherever. Consistently, I fall in love with Wisconsinites and with Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I jokingly say, you know, you guys are actually Canadians.
There's a heavy dose of Midwest humility, I think, all over Wisconsin. We've got a lot to brag about.
Well, let's talk about Appleton itself for a moment, because
we will.
Within moments of arriving here, I'm going, wow, this is so sweet and friendly, everybody you talk to. And there's just that community pride, too.
There is. Appleton, half a dozen times a year, we end up on national lists as best place for fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we were the only city in Wisconsin in Money Magazine's top 50. Couple years ago. Just last week, we were named the city in the country that had the highest percentage of millennials who took out mortgages.
Oh, interesting.
It was very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm. That tells me that younger generation is finding a home here.
And committed and, yeah.
And yeah. And yeah. So it tells me we're doing some things right.
From an economic standpoint, too, I'm blown away by some of the businesses that mm-hmm. are based here that you don't hear about, you don't read about. They're just chugging along.
Well, they're not just chugging along. They're doing quite well. You know, Oshkosh Truck is huge, and they're based just down the road in Oshkosh. They're a neighbor of ours, good-sized city. Kimberly-Clark, I mean, their home is right here. We refer to this area as the Fox River Valley. Appleton is the largest of several municipalities. So Appleton's about 75,000, but the urbanized area here is really closer to 250,000. But it doesn't feel like it.
At all.
I say we're a big small town. Or sometimes I say we're kind of in our adolescence. We don't know if we want to be grown up yet. And I've told people, the longer we can extend our adolescence mm-hmm. as a city, the better off we're going to be.
Well, you as mayor, you've been in the saddle for 20-plus years, mm-hmm. so you obviously are doing something right, or they would have run you out a long time ago.
I think so. We've had a lot of major accomplishments. The thing that people ask me now, what are you most proud of? And my answer, I tell them my answer is probably not what you think it is. I could point to all sorts of buildings and really great things that have happened, and we can talk about those. But what I'm most proud of is what people don't see. And that's the people who work for the city, how passionate they are, how committed they are, how hard they work. There's a really good, positive culture inside City Hall and inside the city as an organization. They're committed. And I attribute a lot of that to I've worked really hard to drive home to them the reason why they come to work. And that is, it doesn't matter what they do, it all adds up to trying to achieve that mission of the city, of meeting the needs of the community. And so we do a lot of things collaboratively with other cities, with school districts, with the counties, with the technical college, nonprofits, because they're also trying to meet the needs of the community. And that's all about relationships. When you have a community that has such a solid foundation of relationships between its institutions, its public institutions, private institutions, that is a really solid foundation that you can do a lot of incredible things.
Looking from the outside, it appears you have a low unemployment rate and a real vibrant economic machine that runs smoothly here.
We do have a very low unemployment rate. The housing stock is very healthy, but it's modest. You know, I took a walk through one of our older neighborhoods today, and it's amazing what you see, older homes, and see that people have come in and done a lot of work to restore them. Sometimes people, visitors, will say to me, well, I'm staying at the hotel downtown. I want to go for a jog or any neighborhood I should watch out for. And I look at them and go, no. We'll walk down any street or alley at any time of day or night and feel safe. In fact, that's another list that we end up on consistently is one of the safest cities in the country, based on crime statistics.
Dovetailing back to where you're a little bit earlier, real estate and the affordability of housing, that's really an alluring factor.
It is. So our strategy, the last several years, you know, we've seen the change that's happened across the country. And I started talking to our staff and our citizens about, let's pay attention to what's going on here. Look across the country. And I used to start out my talks by saying, does anybody here know of anybody who's moved to Minnesota lately? And I would always have one or two people. And then my follow-up question is, well, where did they move to? Well, we know the answer. Well, they moved to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Of course. This is what's happening across the country. You can name the hot cities where young people are flocking to. The question is, why? What makes those cities hot? Well, diversity of culture, diversity of housing choices, diversity of transportation choices, embracing the arts in all of its forms. So a lot of those things. And then I would say to them, who else has that? We have that. We have that in spades. Now, we're not going to compete. I'm not going to compete against Austin and Nashville and Minneapolis and all those other big hot cities. But this is my prediction. Those cities are so popular, the young people who want to go there can't afford to live there.
Yeah, be priced out. Yeah, it's happening
and
right
so,
now.
So, right. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing it happen. So we have to position ourselves as the next big boom for millennials moving to. They're going to look for these mid-sized urban areas that have all those urban amenities without all the urban problems. without the crime and the, you know, being dirty and all of those things mm-hmm. that come along with being a very large city. And we're starting to see that anecdotally, people choosing to move here because of the lifestyle, because of all the different things that we have.
And the deal breaker oftentimes is, you know, you have the nightlife, you have the music, you have the art, but then you go and you check out the real estate, like in Austin, Texas, and you go, never mind.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So far today, in your town, a young high school, college graduate can definitely afford a house. Let's talk real estate for just a moment.
Right. Yeah.
What an entry-level house that you'd be proud to own might cost.
The average home here, I think average home prices here are about $160,000.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you could get a house for $120,000, or you want to go big time, $250,000.
You could if you're willing to put a little work into it.
Yeah.
But those oftentimes are the gems mm-hmm. in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Where the houses aren't so far apart, and you get to know your neighbors, and it's within walking distance of some of our commercial areas, exactly what people are looking for.
So here we are on an overlook.
So this is an old paper mill that was converted to apartments, and they are in high demand. If one comes open, it's not long.
How many units approximately?
I've got to say, I think there's close to 400.
Wow.
Because it extends that
right,
way.
Right. When was this originally built? Like 1900?
Oh, 1890? Probably the late 1800s. And then ceased being a paper mill and had a developer come in and use the good bones and convert it to housing. And it's just...
And when did it reopen in this new life?
The housing was created in the 80s. So very popular. This is... what used to be the industrial flats, long history of papermaking up and down this river. In fact, at one time, we had the greatest concentration of paper mills anywhere in the world on this Fox River. It's about a 30-mile stretch. The river flows north, actually, into the Bay of Green Bay. It's a very wild river, and it was tamed in the 1800s by immigrants who came and constructed a lock system. So there are a series of 17 locks from Lake Winnebago to Green Bay. The drop is greater than the drop of Niagara Falls from Lake Winnebago to Green Bay.
So it was a wild river before.
Wild river. And we actually went through a period of time where the Army Corps of Engineers wanted to close the locks. And we fought real hard to have them open. And then I remember it was in about 1998, making a trip down to Madison and talking to the governor and assuring him that the local communities up and down this river would raise enough money to be matched by the state, which would leverage about $25 million from the feds that they were going to use to close the locks. We said, don't close them. Give us the money. We'll add to it, and we'll open them back up. And today, they're all open.
Interesting.
And it has become...
How did you generate money in that process?
It's one of the things about this area. The generosity here is... incredible, and I'll tell you about another project in a little bit, but it's just incredible. People who are interested in preserving that history, and it's very unique.
So there's a passionate core supporters.
Absolutely.
That are willing to give. Yeah.
This is one of the few hand-operated lock systems that still operates, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
But today, with a renewed interest, the river was abused for a century and a half, and it was very polluted. And today, through a lot of efforts by a lot of people, the river is cleaner than it's been in a long time. The fisheries are coming back. The variety of birds is incredible. Pelicans and storks and all sorts of water birds. And this is a migratory alley for songbirds in the spring and in the fall. So there's just a huge renewed interest in being by the water, and we've seen a lot of development.
And across the way, there's Fox River Paper Company, and that's operating?
Yeah. Here's the unique thing. As we were doing our planning for the future of our city, and we look at this area, and we have industries that are still very important, economically important to us, you look around the country and there's other cities that have had industrial areas that have just been abandoned. And really cool things happen. People come in and they convert it to other uses. But I said, we can't do that. we need to make sure we're sending a message to those businesses that are so important and so viable that we want to help you, but your neighbor's property that may be vacated or whatever, mm-hmm. we want to be able to convert those. So we actually have housing. That white building over there is an old woolen mill that just opened up with about 60 or 70 units, 15 set aside for home for veterans. There's some low-income housing in there. And right next door is the Fox River Paper Company that just spent about $80 million on a new addition and new technology.
Very good.
They can coexist side by side. Performing Arts Center you're going to see tonight is it's a really great story that says a lot about who we are as a community. So that facility is about probably a $55, $60 million facility. 10 years after it was opened, it was eligible to be rated amongst all the facilities of its like size in the country, and it was in the top 10.
And the seating is?
2,100. Doesn't feel like it. It's a very intimate setting. I still get goosebumps when I walk in there. But how that happened was AAL, what we just talked about, which is now thriving, was having their 100th anniversary, and they came forward and they said, we'll donate $8 million to get this thing started. And we had identified another $3 or $4 million of other large donations. The communities all around here raised the room tax 2%. That leveraged another 8, so we're up to about 20. The city put in 4.5. We did the site acquisition, business relocation, infrastructure, parking. The rest of the money was raised by over 2,700 individual and corporate donations.
Nice.
This community owns that building. The cool thing about that is they raise over $2 million every year to support its operation. And the reason they do that is because they've made a commitment to education where no child will spend more than $5 to go to a show.
Nice.
And that is a commitment that they made from day one. But what that does is it lets everybody know this is for everybody. It's not just for people with money. It's for everybody. And you're all welcome here. We want to educate kids. We want to expose them to the arts. And there's just, and you're training future audiences. So it's been just wildly successful.
Love it.
In fact, when Broadway shows, popular ones, when they go on the road, there's not one that we haven't got the Wisconsin premiere here. Not Milwaukee, not Madison. They always
Appleton.
Come here first.
I love it. Only because okay. I've got to go.
Yep.
One last question, and that is, you've been in the saddle more than 20 years, and there are certain things that were in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that you wanted to accomplish when you came in and you haven't done it yet. What are your biggest frustrations?
It's going to sound a little cynical, but my biggest challenge is working with the state and the federal government, and it's to take the handcuffs off. Let us show you the way. They all like to talk about economic development. None of them do economic development. We do. And economic development isn't about low taxes. It's about creating places that people want to be. And we've done that, but the handcuffs are so hard. We have a public transit system that there's unmet demands, but I have no flexibility in terms of revenue. I need some flexibility. That's my biggest frustration. So
going forward, maybe you and other mayors get together.
We have.
And yeah.
And we won't stop.
Yeah.
We will not stop. I'm proud of all the mayors in this state. They're all friends, and we're all on the same page.
For further information.
Come on back.
I will.
Timothy Hanna, Mayor of the City of Appleton. The website's easy, www.appleton.org.
Timothy, right. Thank you.
You awesome. Bet. Fun tonight.
I will. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Appleton, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
Timothy Hanna, I am the mayor of Appleton, Wisconsin.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.